Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today, we are going to be focusing on the 11th parak of Melachim Beis. The topic of this parak is the rise of Yoash from the ruins of his mother. Let's try to appreciate this parak. It's a short parak, but it's a rather shocking parak. So remember, in the north, Yehu has taken full control. He has murdered both the king of Israel and the king of Yehuda. And we've heard that he's taken over northern Israel. But what happened in Yehuda? So in the absence of the king, Ahaziah, who has been killed by Yehu, so what happens is Ataliyahu, the mother of Ahaziah, right? Her son, the king, has been killed, right? So she was the wife of Yehoram, the king of Yehuda. She goes and she sees that after his death, she kills all the Zerah HaMamlocha. She kills all her children and grandchildren, essentially. Anybody who is of the dynasty of Ahaziah. So she kills them all. What a shocking moment. The Mephoshim point out she poisoned them. However, there was one child. His name was Yoash, the son of Ahaziah, the youngest one, who was really an infant at this point in time. He himself survived. Why? So Rashi points out is because he was nursing. He did not yet get the poison. And his Menekes, the midwife who was in charge of nursing him, was given the poison to give to him, but she instead refused. And she and the stole him away, essentially, and hid him in the chadar hamitot, in the room of beds, which was with Yehosheva, by the daughter of the king, who manages to bring him out, who manages to bring her brother, the heir, out of the room in time. And for 6 years, he remained as in hiding. At this point in time, after 7 years, Yehoyada, we don't know so much about him at this point, is one of the Kohanim, and he makes a plan. He turns to all the officers and he says to them, here's what we're going to do. You know, generally speaking, there is a switching of the guard. That means to say that there is the Kohanim and the Levium all serve a week or 2 weeks a year, but they serve in week increments, and they're switched on Shabbos. So what he said was is that the incoming guard will be one group, and the outgoing guard will be two groups. He divides them into two groups because the incoming guard has a lot to be doing on the ground. And he divides them into three groups, and he tells them to take up posts on all the gates around the Beis HaMikdash to protect them from the king, who is, or this young man, this young boy, who's now going to be made king. And that's exactly what they do. They're all the boy Shabbos and the Yotzei Shabbos, those who are coming in for this week and those who are going out of the week, we divide into these groups. It's on the Shabbos, obviously, and they're dividing up, they are protecting it. And they take this young boy, and they bring him in to the base of Migdash, and they give him, they anoint him as a king, and they clap, and they say, Yechi HaMelech, the king has arrived, let the king live. Ataliyahu, this is the woman who's now been the queen for 7 years, gets up and she sees everybody's applause. She sees something's happening. She goes and she sees there on the pedestal is in fact the son she thought was actually killed. What does she do? She screams out, "Kesher, Kesher! There's a rebellion!" And Yehoyada says, "Don't do anything to her. Let her get out of the Beis HaMikdash. And as she's out, then kill her." So she runs from the Beis HaMikdash. She obviously knows it's too dangerous to be here. She leaves through one of the entrances. They only allow her out one entrance, which is very narrow. And as she goes out, they slaughter her there. And they kill her. She was obviously looking to find support, which she did not get because she was not able to get far out enough into the city. At this point, Yehoyada creates a covenant between him, the Kohen, and the king, and between the people. And this is going to be the new king. He's going to be in charge. And at this point, there's a beautiful description of how all the officers, all the noblemen, go out and they bring the king to the house of the kingship. There he goes to the palace through the Shar HaRotzim, through the gate of the Rotzim, and he is placed on the throne. And Vayismach Kol Am Ha'aretz, everybody's happy, and the city is now quiet after Ataliyahu's death. That is this perek, very short perek. There's a few points just to think about, a few points to ponder at the end over here. And that is, number one is just a very interesting point, and that is, where was this young man hidden? Where was Yoash, the king, hidden all these 6 years? So the pasuk tells us it's that Bachadar HaMitot, in the the room of the beds. What does that mean? So on a pshat level, the Radak says, what that simply means is that there were, you know, there were chambers around the, in the walls, either the Leviim or the Kohanim's room, and it was, you know, private chambers that he was hidden in, which Ataliah did not have access to. Rashi, though, quotes Chazal, who said that maybe this is actually what David HaMelech refers to in Ki Yitzpereni B'sukah B'yom Ra'ah, that Hashem will hide me. David HaMelech is obviously talking about his future generations, Yoash B'sukah, in his tabernacle on a bad day. What does that mean? That refers to Yoash, who would be hidden actually not just in any compartment, or not, but rather in the room that was above the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He was in the inaccessible room. That was where he was hidden, B'yom Ra'ah, on this terrible day, and that's how he was hidden all this time. One thing which is just very, very troubling about this entire perek, and that is like, here you have a mother. You know, Ataliyahu is the mother of Achaziyahu, and she's killing all the children. That means she is saying she's killing her own children and grandchildren. How is this possible? How could this go against the basic instincts of a human being to even do such a thing? It's so shocking. So Rav Yigal Ariel has, in his work on Melachim, he has a book on Melachim called Mikdash Melech. He suggests four options as to what could be going on in her mind. And they're very powerful ideas. Number one is it could be simply a drive for power which has gone over the handlebars, which has just gone without check. It is interesting that if you read Sefer Divrei Hayamim Beis in Perek Chof Aleph Pasuk Dalet, we actually missed one interesting aspect of the rise of Yehoram, her husband, Ataliyahu's husband, when he came to power. And that is, although it sounds like he succeeded his father, Yehoshaphat, in Divrei Hayamim points out that he actually killed all his brothers in order to be able to take power. Meaning, here you have a person who took power by killing all his brothers. Isn't Ataliyahu doing the same thing? Could it have been Ataliyahu who actually advised her husband Yehoram to kill all his brothers to take power? And maybe she's doing the same thing in a more perverted way, all her children, even though it's obviously short-lived. She has no legacy. Number two is, it could be that she thinks to herself like this. Yehu has killed all of the children of Achav in the north. And she's concerned now that maybe what Yehu is going to do is he's going to seek cooperation to reunite the kingdom. So she says, I'm not going to allow him cooperation. I'm going to kill anybody who's going to cooperate with him. No one is going to be put in fear or going to try to cooperate with him. She murders them in order to be able to reestablish her own power here and her own independence in the Southern Kingdom. Also a terrible and fanatic perspective. Another option is that maybe she was actually Yush. She was Mia Eshet. She actually gave up hope. Maybe at this point in time, she saw the writing on the wall, she saw Yehu in the north, she said, rather let me die with everybody, rather than see them die. Maybe that's what she was doing, a fatalistic kind of paralysis, which is also a bit shocking. Or finally, another option is revenge. Remember that Yehu's rebellion in the north and the killing of the Beis Achav was a rebellion not just against Achav, but against Avodah Zarah, against idol worship. And maybe what she was trying to say is, it's not reaching here. You know what? You're not going to drive it out. I'm going to kill all that spiritual revolution. We're going to maintain Baal worship in the south, which means, if you think about it, there was more Avodah Zarah going on in the south during her rule than there was in the north, which is a shocking fact in the restoration that was achieved by, ultimately, Yehoyada. It is interesting to note that, with the exception at the very beginning of the perek at the birth, Yoash is not actually given a name until the following perek, almost as if there's an indication of the fact that he is not the main player. He is, in fact, simply the boy of Yehoyada. He is being led by the Kohen, and we're going to see how that shift in relationship is going to follow in the coming few days. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.